Dominic Steele in the Pastor's Heart, and we are right at the heart of the Pastor's Heart today. We're thinking about finances, and not really the church's finances, but our finances as leaders in the people of God. And Arya Dharmaputra and Kevin Hines have put together an organisation to help both ministers and ministries think in this space. It's called Thesaurus Consulting. And Arya and Kevin are with us this afternoon. Arya, let's start with you and the pastor's heart when it comes to money. And let's not think so much about the church, but think about us as pastors. And what's going on as you've been consulting pastors? What have you discovered about our hearts?
First of all, Dominic, thanks for having us on the program. It's great to be here. The pastor's heart. Some pastors that we see really do it well. They're the ones who understand the importance of stewardship and stewardship as a ministry, basically living it themselves in their own personal finances and then modeling it and teaching it to the congregation. So the whole congregation has a heart for stewardship.
Well, let's talk about what doing it well looks like, and then we'll talk about what doing it badly looks like. Kevin, tell us about what, in a pastor's sense, what does doing it well look like in this area?
Yeah, I think there's a, if we just step away from the pastor for a second, I think in society, what we find is that people, they're so overwhelmed with the things of this world, and they can be good things. Mm-hmm. You know, educating children, paying health bills, getting shelter, all of those things. And all of those things, like Christians don't escape those things. Mm-hmm. It's part of living in this world, and we have to set finances aside. But then from a Christian perspective, what we're called to do is put funds towards those things, but always have the kingdom of God in mind. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to Christian leadership and pastors, they're no different to the challenges that everybody faces. Mm-hmm. Faces. So what we find is that Christian leaders have a heart for Jesus. Mm-hmm. But the question is, how then do you practically live out that heart when there's all of these things of this world going on? Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the challenges that we find that not just pastors have, but everybody has, is to actually go, how do we actually do that in a practical sense?
Mm. And Arya, I'm getting the sense from you that when you talk to pastors, some of them you think they're doing it really well and just need a little bit of fine-tuning, and some of them there's serious work to do in helping them. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So as we know, the pastors, they always have a heart for Jesus, really, really understanding the heart of Jesus. But some look at the world not too much differently from the rest of the world, if you know what I mean, when Christians are to be called out to be holy and to be different to the world, separated from the world in terms of our world view. So some pastors, they have a heart for Jesus, but they're not too much different in the way they spend, for instance. So their spending is similar to the Australian average, which is living quite
quite comfortably
and even beyond comfortably, and they don't see that as an issue for them. So what we're trying to say is Christians, we're called out to be separate from the world, and that includes in the way we approach our finances. Mm-hmm. Because the way that we view our finances, the way Christians view money, is that money serves a greater purpose than just ourselves. First and foremost, it needs to be, God is the owner of everything, and the number one purpose for our money is to honor and give glory to God with our finances. So that's what we need to think about as Christians in terms of money.
Now, I've been looking through one of these presentations that you guys have been doing around the place, and there's four key words you use: spend, save, give, and invest. Let's talk spend first. What are your thoughts there about how we might be getting that wrong, how we could be doing that better as pastors?
So when we wrestle with the scriptures, there's three key points that really stand out to us. One, God is the owner of everything. God is the owner of the heavens and the earth, but also the money in your wallet, the money that's sitting in your bank account, and the houses that we own. So your bank account might have your name on it, but but as Christians, we acknowledge that it belongs to God, and we're just stewards who steward that money and steward our assets to the glory of God, for the glory of God. So that's one point. The second point is Jesus taught his disciples to pray, give us our daily bread, which means it is right to fulfill our daily needs, our daily bread in our day-to-day lives. So it's all right to spend on our basic necessities. And thirdly, we seek the kingdom first. Seek first the kingdom of God, which means that in our finances, after we've set aside the money that we need for our basic necessities, for our basic items, living expenses, the rest of that money becomes a surplus for us, which we should steward for the glory of God, which means that we don't spend more money on our own pleasure and entertainment than we do on giving to church and to mission.
Okay, help me drill down on the difference between my daily needs and my discretionary spending, because I find that a hard concept.
That's a problem for many,
yeah,
isn't it?
Kevin.
It's a hard concept for me too, right?
Yeah.
That's the challenge, I think. That's the challenge is we have taken good things. So I'll give you an example. Christian education, mm-hmm. private school education. That is a good thing, mm-hmm. okay? It's a good thing. But in Australia, is it a necessity?
Mm-hmm.
And so we would advocate that that isn't really a necessity for most people. Mm-hmm. Most people can get a good education in secular schools. We take holidays. Holidays are a good thing, mm-hmm. but are they a necessity? Mm-hmm. Is it a necessity? So I think it's, and you're going to have a different...
So, I mean, I take it you're advocating still having a rest. It's whether or not you do something exotic on your holiday.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And something exotic might be fine, but it's not a necessity,
mm-hmm.
right? And my view on necessities might be a little bit different to yours, and it might be a little bit different to Aria's. We're not trying to get everybody to have the same view of necessities, but we are trying to get the parameters narrowed in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we find is that you've got Christian people loving Jesus, a heart for Jesus, pastors as well, and what often happens is that we blur what is a necessity and what is a nice to have.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes these nice to have things take up so much space that actually the amount that's left to either save for when we're not working or the amount that's left that we can give generously to the kingdom, it's all out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we find in secular world and Christian world is that people generally are spending so much now on things that they think are necessities, but it's taking up most of their income, that they're saving for the future and giving to Christ either now or in the future. We need to rebalance that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're coming from a spending point of view. If we just talk about that spending part of the circle, the spending part is just to say to people, hey, instead of just keeping on doing what we're doing, let's just stop and let's have a look at where our money is going. Let's get an understanding of what's going on first, because once we understand it, then we might be able to tweak it and change it, if that's going to help us.
Now, as I've observed people, I've thought about people as being, some people being aesthetics people, like having nice clothes, nice aesthetics, nice furniture. Mm. Some people being experienced people, they like going on nice experiences, and some people being security people. And I would say I look at people and I say, they spend big on one of those kind of areas. But as I heard you just then, Kevin, you were putting security into saving for the future rather than it being a discretionary thing. You're saying to a degree it's at least important.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's right. And that, I guess, in that circular thing, the save and invest and the give, that's on the invest part.
Mm.
So we would say that you, from a provision point of view, we think it's appropriate that you would take some of the money you've got now and use it to provide for yourself down the track.
In the future, in retirement, yeah.
Exactly. Why wouldn't you do that? So what people tend to do is they tend to get everything now, or they tend to use everything they've got now, and they spend all of it now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if you think of what saving.
And it was quite extraordinary, the number of people who drew down on their superannuation when they were allowed to in the recent COVID thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right.
I thought, wow, that just seemed stunningly irresponsible by Australia.
Yeah, exactly right. Saving for the future is really spending tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if we think of what you've got now, if you spend all of it now, that means that there's less to spend tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think of just spending, is it wise to spend everything now, or is it wise to save a little bit so that you can spend it tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
We'll say that's on the spending part. That's on the spending and the investing part. And then giving comes into that. And so giving comes in and you sort of say, well, we've got this bucket of money now that I can spend with it, I can save it for the future, and I can give it. Well, how do I then work out what to give in light of all those needs that I've got, either basic needs or discretionary needs, those nice-to-have sort of things? How does giving fit into that? And do I use a formula? Do I just say 5% feels okay, or 10%, or I'll give what I can because looking after my family and giving them experiences is really important? Or can we actually provide people with some sort of parameters, like we were saying before, to think about giving a little bit differently?
Okay, Aria, how much should I give?
It depends, first of all, on your basic needs. Some people have work expenses that are more than others, but I would say usually your basic needs are so much in Australia that you have a great deal of surplus that you can actually steward towards giving and towards other ministries. So in Australia, just to, the average household spends around 20% on entertainment, on their own pleasure. That's for holidays, dining out, hobbies, and so forth, 20%. But the average rate of giving for Christians is around 2.5 to 3%.
That low.
So what does it say for the Christian, a committed Christian, when the amount of money that they spend on their own pleasure is 5 times greater than the kingdom? So we say, maybe it's time to actually start to look at a balance between those two.
Mm-hmm.
Start to moderate your entertainment so you can increase your giving to the kingdom. So at least you can say, without a doubt, that you're actually living for the kingdom first. Because to me, if someone spends, you know, more money on their own pleasure, this is outside their daily necessities, on their own pleasure, and spending that more on that than the kingdom, then I would say, you know, are you actually seeking the kingdom first?
Did you put private school fees in necessity or pleasure?
Private school fees are, for me, private school fees are not a basic need. So let me say, though, that I send my two daughters to a Christian private school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But how much do you give? This is for me. So our encouragement is to just ask questions of people and help them think a little bit differently. So for me and for our family, we're in a fortunate position where we have decent income and those sorts of things. But we've made a decision to say, as we try and mature in giving and stewardship, just as one of the quick checks that we've got is to say, what does our private schooling cost? As a separate item, what does our entertainment cost? They're normally our two biggest areas of expenditure. Mm-hmm. And then we've made a decision to say, we're just going to make sure we give more than those two things.
Mm-hmm.
As just a quick ticker box check each year to say, has our giving been more than our entertainment expense and more than our private school fees?
It's lumped together.
No, separate.
Separate.
Now, not every family, that sort of criteria isn't going to be appropriate for every family.
Mm-hmm.
But that works for us as we sort of go away from saying, 10% is the criteria. What we're more about is saying 10% might be a great place to start, but actually we want to we want to think of giving in light of every decision we're making in mm-hmm. life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if I'm earning $1 million, is giving 10%, is giving 100,000 okay, and I can spend 900 grand on whatever I like or save it however I like?
Because you presumably got the same basic necessity cost as...
Exactly right.
And so you're spending a lot more on pleasure.
On pleasure, or whatever those things are. So let's just start thinking about our generosity and our giving in light of stewardship and in light of how that affects how I'm living and mm-hmm. the decisions I'm making, because all of those decisions I'm making should be about glorifying God. Mm-hmm. And it should be about saying, hey, what's most important to me? Is the private school education more important to me than my neighbour's children who don't know Jesus? Mm-hmm. And the answer to that question is actually, the unsaved neighbour's children are probably more important to me than the private education for my children. My children are saved and they love Jesus and they're growing up in a loving family. So while the private education's great, I know so many people who don't know Jesus. Mm-hmm. How's that going to affect the way that I manage my money and how much I give and where I give it mm-hmm. to?
So I think a good point that's been raised is you can have private education, which is outside the boundaries of your basic necessities, but do not let the cost of private education rob generosity and giving. Let that rob your other stuff. So you might use the money that you were saving up for a holiday or things like going out for coffee and dining out, spend less of that and use it for your private education if you think that's important, mm-hmm. and let that rob the other stuff instead of robbing generosity and giving. Mm-hmm. It's just making that balance right.
Mm-hmm. How do you think about investments? Security investments, those kind of areas. Should you be spending some money on that?
So one of the people that consulted with us, they have a really good plan. They actually have two investment accounts. One is an investment account for themselves, and one, it's still in their name, but they actually allocate that or keep it separate so they're ready to use that anytime there's a call for investing in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great a great way of doing it. So because as you know, when everything is lumped together and then the church or a mission organization calls for money, it's a bit hard to release that money because it has our name on it. But because that person keeps tabs on which account is theirs and which account is actually separate to the kingdom, they can just release it much easier when someone calls for money. So it's a good idea to have investment separated, and from a finance point of view, it's a good thing to actually look at investing. Because many of the things, many of the, savings account these days are on 0% interest. So, for long term, it's obviously good to look out for other investment opportunities. Obviously, things that you are knowledgeable about, not just mm-hmm. following someone else's tips.
You had a line there. I noticed, invest in things you understand. Mm. Talk to me about that.
So, if you invest in things you understand. We say, just because your friend says Bitcoin's a good, a good strategy or options or any derivatives is a good option, just think of the things you understand. Basically, you need to understand what makes the investment go up and down in value. You need to know what factors contribute to your investment going up or down, so you can control when you go in, when you go out. Second, you need to understand its costs. And third, you need to understand the factors, how to liquidate it. So when you need the cash instead of that investment, how to liquidate it. If you don't understand that, then it's going to be a big problem. So just stick to the instruments of investing that you actually understand. Or if you don't understand it, take time to learn about it instead of just going in willy-nilly.
Now, you've had these four words of spend, save, give and invest. What's the difference between save and invest?
Yeah, so if we just stay with invest for a second. So investment from our point of view, it's the purpose really mm-hmm. is what differentiates those two things. So for us, just to keep it simple, invest is really about building something that you need in the future. So investment would be house related, sort of shelter related, or wealth related. So something to fund your retirement, which would be a good purpose. You might use money to help set your children up in a house or give them a deposit or something like that. So that's what investing is for. Investing is more long-term, building wealth for a purpose. Yep. Saving is more related to immediate spending. So if you think of that sort of spending, and we're talking about basic needs and then discretionary items.
You could be saving to go on a holiday.
So you could be saving to go on a holiday.
Or saving for a new car.
Or a new car or a new fridge or those sort of things. They fit in that everyday item bucket, but they don't happen every day.
There is lumpy expenditure.
It's not like you're buying milk. It's lumpy. Yeah. And because it's lumpy, what you want to do is you want to put money aside each week for it as if you were buying it or as if you were buying a portion of it that week. But you set money aside for it each week so that when the expense comes up, you've got the money there available for it. Mm. So that's the main differentiator between saving and investing. And I guess the other part that we like to stick into saving is just to have a bit of a buffer now. Mm-hmm. So, not everybody is able, and we understand that, but it is great to have, 3 months, 6 months, something like that, worth of basic expenditure covered. So from a saving point of view, if you're spending $5,000 a month.
Sounds like a lot of savings to me.
So if you're spending $5,000 a month, for example, if you had $15,000 set aside in a bank account, and I say not everybody can do it.
It's a rainy day fund.
It's a rainy day fund, and it's there for you may get sick, or your children may get sick, or you may lose a job, or any of those sorts of things. And it's good just to have not too much, but enough to say, if the worst happens for a few months, I've got it covered and I don't have to panic. Mm-hmm. And I can still be generous. I can still give from that. Mm. I can still pay my basic bills from that. And I'm not on the bread line, and going back to what you were saying earlier, I'm not taking from my superannuation that's for 15, 20, 25 years' time to meet immediate needs now because I've cut things so fine.
Because your house might, need repairs, your car might need repairs. And it also prevents you from actually dipping into your credit card or taking a loan when those, those bad things happen and you need to cover expenses, particularly if you have a savings account. It actually saves you from going into debt.
Now, if we're about growing to be more like Christ, growing to be more generous, growing to be more sacrificial, those kind of things, have you found the conversations you've been having with ministers helpful for them in this?
So what we say to pastors and ministers is stewardship is basically discipleship in your everyday decisions. It's discipleship in your everyday decisions. So discipleship for us, I don't know if you take on the same view, discipleship is basically transferring the ownership of your life from yourself over to God, over to Christ, meaning that you're not the center of your world, you're not the center of your life anymore, and you're not even the center of your decision-making anymore. All the decisions that we make are centered around Christ and how to glorify Him. So stewardship is a stepping stone, or a more biblical word to it is, training in righteousness towards discipleship.
Mm-hmm. So we encourage people to take their bank account, take what money is getting spent, and to itemize it. Mm-hmm. And we've got a formula for doing that, but you basically say, how much is going to giving? How much is going on entertainment? How much is going on health? How much is going to housing? And you break it up into these
categories.
Categories. That's step one. And that is to be honest with you, that is the hardest thing to do because most people don't really want to know where their money's going. They're happy to just continue on. Because once you know it and you see it and you examine it, you're confronted with something that often tells a story that says, this doesn't look that good. Mm-hmm. This could look better. And I think that's the biggest challenge. But once you get over that hurdle and you do examine it, you then find that actually you can make subtle changes. So you can, you know, you can cut out a coffee a week or two coffees a week, or you can go from eating out twice a week to eating out once a week. And actually, from a lifestyle point of view, it makes absolutely no difference at all. But from a freeing money up point of view, and be able to take that money and segregate it off into savings or into extra giving or wherever it goes, it can make a massive difference to how your overall life works out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the biggest challenge, and the encouragement that we'd have to ministers and anybody else is to actually sit down and look at where you spend money as being a story. It's a story of, or it's a help, it's a guide as to the decisions you're making, what do you actually value? And you can use that to then tweak it to say, actually, I want to show that Jesus is number one, and you can use your money, where your money goes, to help you do that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, Aria, that if I want my church and the people, the flock Christ has given me to look after, to be growing in Christ in this area, the first step is getting it right myself?
You know? Absolutely, yes.
And have you seen helping a minister get it right themselves then have implications for the church? Tell us about some of those stories.
Well, that's right. So I think if a church is successful in their giving sort of giving or pledging sort of system, it's not because they have glossy brochures or they have, you know, colorful events like a Vision Sunday and things like that, but because the pastor, the senior minister, is showing that in his day-to-day life. I think that makes more of an impact than having, you know, a once a year sort of pledging or giving opportunity for the congregation. It's important to see the pastor as a leader in stewarding their money well, and the church in their church finances stewarding the money well. That leaves a bigger impact on the congregation to live like that as well.
As I listen to you, I'm just reminded of a conversation I had years ago with he was a pastor and his wife, and they were on their own, just the one staff member of that church. And she said to me, of her and her husband, that she felt there was a sense that members in the church had a really direct view about how they, as the ministry couple, spent their money, you know. And it actually had to do with, if you like, the values that particular church member had about how they felt their budget should be organised. They wanted the pastor and the church to have similar values.
Mm.
I feel like on a multi-staff church like ours, people don't examine things in quite the same way.
Mm.
But I wondered, have you talked to people who've had complexities like that?
Yeah. So I think like it or not, ministers are in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
For good and for bad, their sort of habits and tendencies and the way they live their lives even is seen by many as an example for Christian living. So, and I see that quite often, that the modeling that the pastor does has a direct impact in how, you know,
how do we do that in an unhelpful way, and then how can we do that in a helpful way?
In a helpful way, I think the minister needs to realize, I think Thomas Aquinas said this: there are three enemies of the Christian, right? Three enemies of the Christian. It's the devil, the world, and themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And all three are all present in the world of commerce, right? So that's why stewardship is important to sort of guard people against the negative impacts of commerce. So the way that the pastor does it well is he might remind the congregations of the enemy that lurks in the heart of the Christian. Because this enemy is the reason why, you know, people go on a church on a Sunday but can't recall the sermon, 3 points of the sermon on a Monday, because all the distracting voices of commerce and the world is keeping them away from that. So I think ministers need to remind people of where the enemy is at this present moment. The enemy is not in Sydney, in Australia. It's not poverty. The enemy is not having not having enough. It's actually having too much, or having too much of a heart for the things of this world. So just being mindful of it, just reminding people of that.
Mm. Think of it from a ministry point of view. You've got, let's just say, it's 100 people in the pews, and you're up there. And if the only time that the people in the pews hear the minister talking about finances is when the minister's talking about, hey, we need to balance our budget, we need to do this, or we need to do that, and it's all about the church, and it's nothing about growing that person in Christ-likeness and discipleship and in faithfulness and generosity and stewardship and helping them to actually live, then I think that's an easy way for people to turn off to what the minister's saying. Mm-hmm. But I think if the minister is up there humbly saying, I am walking this path just like you're walking this path, mm-hmm. and I have successes and I have failures, and the failures don't destroy us. You know, I fail one day and it's an opportunity to learn and then to continue maturing in this. And here are some of my successes and here are some of my failures. And can you help me? And can I help you? And let's do this together. I think this is a partnership where actually the church finances. So I say this carefully. The church finances are important, but they're not the main game. Mm-hmm. The main game is the people who are in that church and saying to them, hey, we want to help you live for Christ. We want to help you do it with those important decisions you make. We want to help you do it with the money that you manage for Jesus Christ. And we want to do that ourselves. Can we grow in that together? Mm. I think if that's the message that's coming from the church leadership, then I think we've got a chance of actually turning around that 2.5% figure. People will have less because they're giving more, but actually their lives will be more aligned with Christ, mm. and they'll have greater joy in their lives. And that's the game.
Mm. Great. Thanks very much for coming and talking to us, gentlemen. That's been very helpful. My guests on The Pastor's Heart this afternoon, Arya Dharmaputra and Kevin Hines, and they're the directors of Thesaurus Consulting. We'll put a link to them in the show notes of this program. Thanks for being with us, and we'll look forward to your company next Tuesday afternoon.
Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.